From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, December 9th. I'm Abby Larico. A Missouri sociologist wants to share a warning about conspiracy theories. When believers start blaming marginalized groups for society's problems, everyone's in danger.
That's when you end up with a rise in hate crimes and all kinds of things that we would not like to see in society.
How conspiracy theories spread and ideas for derailing them at your next family gathering. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Former St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner will go before a disciplinary panel today over how she handled the prosecution of former Missouri Governor Eric Greitens. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman explains.
Back in 2022, Gardner admitted that she had broken professional conduct rules in the governor's case. She was fined $750 and had to cover the cost of the hearing. The latest accusations relate to how she paid those expenses. She is accused of violating the rules in four ways. A lawyer for the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel will present the state's case to the panel. Attorneys for Gardner may present evidence to show she did not break the rules but are not required to. The panel will decide what it thinks is the appropriate level of punishment and make a recommendation to the state Supreme Court. Its judges have the final say. Their options range from throwing out the charges to disbarring Gardner. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The man accused of shooting a Granite City police officer Friday has been charged. Total counts against 26-year-old DJ Marshall carry a penalty of up to 100 years in prison. The officer shot has been identified as 27-year-old Tyler Timmons. In a Monday update, local law enforcement say Timmons remains in the hospital with hopes for a full recovery. Timmons was among the officers responding to a call Friday afternoon when prosecutors say Marshall began shooting at them. Tips from the community and a multi-agency effort led to his arrest early Saturday morning. The Belleville News-Democrat reports Timmons has a criminal history and there was an active warrant for his arrest at the time of the shooting. A St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department officer has been accused of assaulting and harassing a woman with whom he has a child. Prosecutors filed four felony and two misdemeanor charges against 33-year-old Terrence Ruffin yesterday. They stem from multiple incidents earlier this year and are the result of an internal affairs investigation. Ruffin has been with the SLMPD since 2017. The department would not comment on his current employment status. A spokesman said in a statement that any officer who violates policy will be disciplined. The group behind an effort to overturn Missouri's new congressional map is suing the Secretary of State. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg has details.
Lawyers for People, Not Politicians are asking Circuit Court Judge Christopher Limbaugh to rule that signatures gathered before Secretary of State Denny Hoskins approved the referendum for circulation will count. Chrissy Peters with the Secretary of State's office testified that signatures before October 14th would not count towards the total needed to validate the referendum. Instead, the office is counting signatures gathered on or after that date. Those signatures will be processed and sent to local election authorities for verification. Meanwhile, Peters also says the signatures collected before will be separated and scanned for possible review later. Plaintiffs in the case are asking Limbaugh to uphold those earlier signatures, while Hoskins' attorneys are asking the opposite. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Public Library is phasing out its free internet hotspot lending program because of a loss of federal funding. STLPR's Olivia Mizell reports.
The pandemic-era federal funding program that paid for about 12,000 mobile hotspots available for checkout ended in June of 2024. Since then, the library has maintained a remaining 700 of the devices with its own funding, but a high loss rate and rising equipment costs has forced the library to phase out the program. St. Louis Public Library CEO Waller McGuire says about 30 hotspots per month were not returned, and the library had to pay to replace them.
I wish that America had other ways of giving people access in their homes to the internet, since so much of life is moving in that direction now, but it isn't something that the library can continue to provide.
The library will stop distributing hotspots after February 28th. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
City residents can still get hotspots from the St. Louis County Library, which has 287 hotspots available to anyone 18 and older with a St. Louis County Library card. Those eligible for a county library card include residents of St. Louis County, as well as the city of St. Louis, St. Charles County, and some parts of the broader St. Louis metro area. In perhaps a sign, though, of how needed this program is, there is quite a wait list with 504 holds on hotspots from the county library right now. A St. Louis County Port Authority investment program recently approved thousands of dollars in grants for dozens of nonprofits that assist underserved communities. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has details on the moves from the Community Investment Fund.
More than 80 applications were reviewed and 38 nonprofits were selected to receive a collective total of nearly $5 million through the grant program. The program took a pause last year but has been around since 2010. Nonprofits were approved if they aligned with the Port Authority's investment priorities, like neighborhood development in underserved communities. Kevin O'Malley is the chair of the St. Louis County Port Authority.
We are able to take chances to support entrepreneurship that otherwise might not be supported.
Funds will be dispersed as approved groups complete and submit the necessary documents. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Muni will spend $9.5 million on renovations next year. The outdoor theater in Forest Park will replace all of its 11,000 seats and make structural updates to protect against flooding. Aging concrete around the theater was affected by the record-breaking rainstorm that soaked St. Louis in July of 2022. Flash flooding at the time increased the chances for future structural damage in the upper terraces and around the soundboard. Fixes will also protect the orchestra pit that was updated in a round of renovations following a 2018 capital campaign. Construction will begin after the 2026 season.
Keep podcasts like The Gateway thriving by becoming a member of St. Louis Public Radio today. Your support ensures that your community stays informed and has access to fact-based local news. Give now at stlpr.org.
University of Missouri sociologist Chris Connor has studied and written about conspiracy theories for years, and he says the belief in them is spreading beyond the typical fringe groups. It's our friends and family, too. Connor spoke with Kansas City Public Library's Anne Kniggendorf about why so many Americans are adopting even the most extreme-sounding ideas and how to respond.
What's an example of a conspiracy theory someone might casually bring up at a gathering?
So the one that keeps making the rounds is the kitty litter conspiracy theory.
I do not know that one.
So it's based on this idea that there's litter boxes in many elementary schools. And that's because of active shooters. And so there's been kitty litter in there in case they need to absorb vomit or if they need to have the kids use the restroom, because they're often locked down for like 12 hours. So basically someone took this idea and said, oh, the kids must be identifying as cats.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
I mean, so it's the root of it is this anxiety or concern by conspiracists over people who identify as a different gender.
A whole lot of what conspiracy theories are concerned with is sort of a battle of good against evil, right?
Yeah, so we found with QAnon specifically that the believers in conspiracy theories see themselves as truth bearers walking in the light, and that those who are opposed to them are some kind of dark, evil, satanic force.
Why does it seem like it's making it to more progressive spaces, and what's the danger of that?
These are old tropes that are based on xenophobia, racism, homophobia, and they are harmful because what they do is they kind of package these ideas in a new form. Hey, these are the people who are making your life miserable, whether that be trans people or people of color or Jewish people, right? Those people don't have power and are often the most marginalized. And that's when you end up with a rise in hate crimes and all kinds of things that we would not like to see in society, let's say.
Oh, somebody I know was recently talking about Alex Jones in this some kind of thing in California, like a something Grove.
Oh, Bohemian Grove. Oh, that's so interesting. So Bohemian Grove is a real place where a lot of these former presidents, heads of Fortune 500 companies go.
Like a retreat center?
And yeah, they do some crazy stuff with some rituals and whatnot. That's it.
Okay.
Do they conspire? Well, you know, I think all of us conspire. The difference is those people have actual power, right, to impact society. And that's the issue. And I think that leads people to some bizarre conclusions. People who believe these ideas, they've been harmed by the system. And so their beliefs are kind of justified in a sense.
You've mentioned the role of empathy when talking to somebody who is really mired down in one or more conspiracy theories.
So one of the things that sociology professes is this idea of radical empathy. That's what I'm kind of promoting, is this idea that love for others, right? And creating an off-ramp for people to basically come back into society. Because if we demonize people who have those beliefs and don't allow them for growth and change, then, you know, there's no hope.
Thank you very much for talking to me today.
Pleasure to be here.
That was University of Missouri sociologist Chris Connor speaking with Ann Kniggendorf of the Kansas City Public Library. That conversation comes to us from member station KCUR in Kansas City. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.